Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Yo, step into the ring where the stories get raw. Junkyard James spitting truth, no flaw. Beyond the junkyard, the tales collide. Wrestling's wild side, come and take the ride. Chairs fly, rope snap, legends unfold. Every move, every slam, the drama is gold. From the underground brawls to the title fights, we break it all down under spotlight nights. Beyond the junkyard, where the stories get told. Steel cages, bright lights, the moment's so bold. From the past to the future, the mat stays strong. Junkyard James, keep it real all day long. Tune in, strap up, it's about to get wild. Powerbomb the truth, no sugar, no mild. Every heel, every face, every match that burns. The junkyard delivers, now it's your turn. So hit play, no delay, the bell has rung. Beyond the junkyard, where the legends are sung. Junkyard James got the mic in his grip. Wrestling podcast vibes, now let's take the trip.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Solo Saturday episode of the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. I am your host, Junkyard James. It's Saturday, the 5th of July. We're finally in July, and we have a jammed pack episode for you today. Obviously, if you're not aware, we did not have a live stream this Thursday. Just wanted to give us some time to just relax and enjoy the holiday weekend, the long 3-day weekend with families. And so no live stream this week. We'll be back next Thursday though for the big live stream. This one's the big one. We are going to go over AEW All In, the prediction show. It's finally here. We'll break down that card next Thursday. But I got a couple things I need y'all to do for me right now if you're watching this. And that's those four little icons on the top of the screen. Just as a reminder, like this video, hit the thumbs up. Leave some comments below. Let me know what you think about this content that we talk about today. Maybe something else that you want us to do or change or whatever may be the case. And then share the video. And then the most important one, we're on the road to 100 subscribers. We're at 45, a little bit behind pace, but we're on the road to 100 subscribers by the end of 2025. So hit that subscribe button, hit the notification bell, and that way you can get notified whenever we go live or we drop another video. Big thanks to all of our affiliates and partners, W Energy, WWE Shop, StubHub, and now we are officially a partner with RSS.com. RSS.com is the site that we use to upload the audio versions of the podcast to Spotify and Apple. They help distribute that stuff for me. We will be getting a link and putting it in the description here shortly for you guys. If you use that link, if you're interested in podcasting, and interesting in trying to mass distribute your podcast, this is the way to do it. RSS.com. We'll put the link in the description, and you can help support the podcast by buying a membership there with RSS.com. It's relatively pretty good pricing, depending on what level, how many podcasts you plan to host. Yeah, you help support the podcast that way. So that link will be in the description. We're going to change up the formatting of the Saturday show. My original intention was, let's hook people in, let's do Smash or Pass to start the show, to get people hooked in, and then we can go through all of the other news and things later in the show. But I'm changing it around a little bit because I got to make you wait. If you come here for Smash or Pass, you're going to have to listen to the full episode to get to Smash or Pass. We're going to kind of flip it backwards. We'll do Smash or Pass at the end to end the show, and then we'll talk about all of the other news to begin the show. So, ladies and gentlemen, wrestling fans, and anyone who's ever believed in a dream against all odds, let's talk about something truly remarkable. This past Wednesday, July 2nd, 2025, All Elite Wrestling's flagship show, AEW Dynamite, hit its 300th episode. 300 episodes. Can we just take a moment and let that sink in? 300 weeks. 600 plus hours delivering high octane, heart pounding, storytelling driven professional wrestling to millions of fans around the world. This isn't just a milestone for AEW to celebrate. Obviously, it is. This is a big milestone, but it's a testament to the company's resilience, innovation, and their unwavering passion that dared to challenge the status quo. And trust me, when you consider the obstacles that AEW had to overcome, uncertainties with TV contracts, the COVID-19 pandemic, the brawl out situation with CM Punk, and a chorus of naysayers consistently and constantly moving the goalpost, this achievement is nothing short of extraordinary. See, let's just put into perspective real quick. Friends, The Office, Sons of Anarchy, and countless of other mainstream successes in the TV world never got to the 300 episode mark. AEW has gotten to that position. But let's rewind. Let's take a history lesson through the 300 episodes of AEW Dynamite. Let's rewind back to 2019. All Elite Wrestling was born out of a vision that was sparked by the success of All In 2018, spearheaded by people like Cody Rhodes, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks. They got the financial backing of Tony Khan and his father Shahid. This wasn't just a new wrestling promotion. It was meant to be a revolution. AEW was aimed to be the alternative to a wrestling monopoly that had dominated for decades, offering fans something fresh, exciting, and authentic. But when Dynamite debuted on October the 2nd, 2019, on TNT, it pulled in 1.4 million viewers. The doubters were already circling. They called AEW simply just a t-shirt company, dismissing it as some fleeting passion project that couldn't compete in the big leagues. It's just a bunch of indie wrestlers selling merch, they said, and it'll never last. But guess what? They were wrong. Not only has Dynamite survived, it has thrived in the last 60 years. That debut episode wasn't a fluke. It was a statement. AEW forced WWE's NXT programming to move nights because Dynamite was consistently drawing bigger audiences and doubling the viewership and the key 18 to 49 demographic. But now, let's not get too comfortable with that early success, because the road to 300 episodes was anything but smooth. AEW faced challenges that would have sunk in lesser promotions, and I'll break down why reaching this milestone is such a big deal. First, let's talk about the elephant in the room, COVID-19. When that pandemic hit in early 2020, the entire world shut down. Sports leagues like the NBA suspended the season. Live events became a distant memory. For a wrestling promotion less than a year old, this could have been a death sentence. Most wrestling relies on live crowds, the energy, the chants, the atmosphere. AEW didn't have the machine that WWE has. WWE, when COVID hit, they transformed the Performance Center to the Thunderdome, and they still had a somewhat live audience, not a in-person audience, but remember what the Thunderdome was. AEW didn't have that, but AEW didn't fold. They pivoted to Daly's Place in Jacksonville, Florida, and they created a unique outdoor setup where they could safely produce shows without spectators. Think about this: a brand new company still finding its footing, and they had to produce weekly television under unprecedented restrictions. No fans in the stands, no ticket revenue, but just pure creativity, passion, and grit. They turned Daly's Place into their home base, crafting compelling storylines and matches that kept fans glued to their TV screens. And then when the restrictions eased, AEW was one of the first major sporting events and the first major wrestling promotion to bring back ticketed fans. They started with 10 to 15% capacity at All Out 2020, and eventually returned to full capacity crowds by May of 2021. That's not just surviving, that's setting the pace. Let's move on, though, to TV uncertainties. When AEW started, they didn't even have a guaranteed year on TNT. That initial deal was a gamble for both AEW and Warner Discovery. But in January 2020, Warner Media extended Dynamite's contract through 2023 and greenlit a second show, AEW Rampage. This was huge, a vote of confidence in a company barely 6 months old. But the uncertainty didn't end there. By late 2024,
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
AEW Rampage was canceled as part of the new TV deal with Warner Bros. Discovery, which shifted Dynamite to TBS and added a simulcast on Max. Critics pounced, saying the loss of Rampage was proof AEW was failing. But let's take a look at the bigger picture. AEW secured a deal that not only kept Dynamite and Collision on air, on TV, on the old cable systems, but it also expanded their reach to a major streaming platform. 500,000 people are watching Dynamite and Max every Dynamite on Max every single week, pushing total viewership somewhere to 1 to 1.2 million per episode. That's not a failure. That's growth and a fragmented media landscape where traditional TV ratings across all major networks across the board are declining. Speaking of growth, let's address the numbers. Sure, the 300th episode of Dynamite only drew 584,000 viewers on TVS, which was down from the previous week. Critics were quick to call it a disappointment, pointing to the holiday week and competition from soccer and baseball. But here's the thing, those numbers don't include the max streaming numbers, which adds hundreds of thousands more. Plus, hey, guess what? That 18 to 49 demographic actually ticked up from 0.15 last week to 0.16 this week, showing an interest among younger viewers. Compare that to a year ago when Dynamite averaged 688,000 viewers, again, without Max. And 2 years ago, 855,000 viewers, yes, again, without Max. And yes, the viewership has fluctuated, but AEW is still pulling in millions of minutes watched per episode. This week, 60 million minutes watched on Max alone. For a company that's been around only 6 years, competing against a juggernaut like the WWE, this is a massive win. But the real story isn't just the numbers, it's the journey to get here. AEW has faced a relentless barrage of skepticism. First, remember, it was just a TV t-shirt company. Two, when they proved they were able to sell out arenas and sign TV deals, the haters moved the goalposts from it's just a TV company to, okay, fine, but it won't last long. Dynamite has since outlasted WCW's Nitro, an episode count, and a feat that seemed impossible when AEW started. So what did they say next? 300 episodes isn't that big of a deal. Really? 300 episodes of a weekly show that navigated a global pandemic, a cutthroat TV landscape, and constant comparisons to a company with decades of history? That's not a big deal. Really? No, that's not just a big deal. It's a middle finger to everyone who's ever doubted them. So let's talk about those haters for a moment. The goalpost moving is almost comical. When AEW launched, the narrative was that they couldn't compete with WWE's polished sports entertainment. But Dynamite has since carved out its niche, high-energy matches, long-term storytelling, and a focus on the in-ring action over scripted promos. They brought in stars like CM Punk, Bryan Danielson, and Mercedes Moné while elevating their homegrown talent of people like MJF, Adam Hangman Page, Chris Statlander, Willow Nightingale, and others. When Dynamite hit big ratings early on, the critics said it was just curiosity. When ratings settled, they called it being in a slump. When AEW expanded to Max and saw streaming success, the narrative shifted to, but the cable numbers are down. No matter what AEW seems to do, the detractors always find a new reason to dismiss them. But 300 episodes later, AEW is here. It's still growing. And it's still innovating. And let's not forget about the cultural impact. Dynamite's 300th episode wasn't just another episode of Dynamite. It was a celebration of AEW's place in pop culture. They partnered with Warner Brothers Discovery to feature stars from the upcoming James Gunn movie Superman, stars like David Corn Sweat, Rachel Brosnahan, and Nicholas Hoult, tying wrestling to a major Hollywood blockbuster. That kind of crossover appeal puts AEW on the map beyond wrestling fans. They've had celebrities like Mike Tyson and Snoop Dogg on their show, and MJF is starring in the upcoming Happy Gilmore 2. AEW isn't just a wrestling company, it is a cultural force reaching 220 territories and 50 languages. The 300th episode itself was a microcosm of why AEW succeeds. You had Hangman Page and Jon Moxley building to that Texas death match at All in Texas. with Hangman Page hitting Marina Shafir with a buckshot lariat to send a message. You had Mercedes Moné in her 1,000th career match defending the TBS Championship against Mina Shirakawa in a match that stole the show, followed by dramatic post-match angles with Toni Storm. In the main event, Kota Ibushi versus Kazuchika Okada, a dream match that brought together a rivalry from New Japan's storied past to American television, capped off by Kenny Omega's return to reunite the Golden Lovers. This wasn't just wrestling, it was storytelling, athleticism, and a spectacle all in front of a raucous crowd in Toyota Arena in Ontario, California. Hey, one more time, let's address those haters moving the goalposts. That t-shirt company jab was rooted in AEW's indie origins, but they've since built a multi-million dollar media empire. Those that said it wouldn't last long ignored the ability to secure long-term TV deals and expand into streaming. And those saying that 300 episodes isn't a big deal, well, you dismiss the sheer endurance it takes to produce a weekly show for 6 years under constant scrutiny. Every time AEW seems to clear a hurdle, the critics set a new one. But here's the truth. AEW doesn't need to beat anyone to succeed. They've created a viable alternative. They've given wrestlers a platform to shine, and they've given fans a choice. Competition breeds excellence, and AEW's existence pushes the entire industry forward. So to the fans who've watched every week like myself, who've bought tickets, who've streamed on Max, I gotta say thank you. You've made the 300 episodes possible. To Tony Khan, who has taken every punch and kept swinging, I gotta give you props, dog. And to the haters, let's keep moving those goalposts, because AEW is already eyeing episode 400, already eyeing episode 500, and already eyeing beyond that. They've survived pandemics. They've survived the skeptics. They've survived a cutthroat industry, and they've reached a milestone that, whether you want to believe it or not, is a testament to the success of AEW. 300 episodes isn't just a number. It's proof that AEW is here to stay, delivering wrestling that's by the fans, for the fans. So here's to AEW Dynamite. Here's to All Elite Wrestling. Here's to the revolution that's just getting started. Viva AEW. Now let's transition into some other stories here. There's a report that was put out yesterday by Cultaholic, written by Aiden Gibbons, that says that there are talent in WWE that are not exactly thrilled with the hastily produced planning of WWE Evolution number 2, which will be going on head-to-head against All In on next Saturday. Let's see what this has to say. They quote Sean Ross Sapp of The Hump, Fightful podcast. This is what Sean Ross Sapp has to say. So a lot of women that I was speaking to felt, a lot of them felt like it was a setup. One, it was put against All In Weekend across the street from a Beyonce concert during MLB All-Star Weekend, when a lot of the hotels were going to be bought up in the area. They weren't necessarily thrilled with that, but it was hastily produced. So that's a quote from Sean Ross Sapp. So there are people backstage, women talent backstage, that deem that the planning, the producing, the production of this pay-per-view was hastily produced and possibly meant to be a setup to, quote, prove why women do not sell in the wrestling industry. And let me tell you something for a second, folks. I actually believe that this is the case. Why else would WWE book a show in Atlanta the same weekend as the All-Star Game, knowing a year in advance that the All-Star Game was in Atlanta? And I'm sure they knew that that Beyonce concert was taking place when they planned this event. This didn't see, like, it wasn't, this event was just announced just a few months ago. So this was something that they, this is what I feel like they did with Evolution. Oh, the fans are calling for an all-women's pay-per-view. They're saying we don't give a shit about women's wrestling. And so let's give them a women's pay-per-view. But let's do it. Let's put it up against the AEW's biggest show. Let's put it up against this, and let's put it up against that, so that when it does, when the numbers come back and the numbers are terrible and they didn't get a big event, they didn't get a big crowd, they're not a lot of people watched, we can say, well, I guess women's wrestling just doesn't sell like men's wrestling does. See, here's the thing. They're not even going head-to-head with this show against AEW. See, AEW gave them a lifeline when they moved the show. So WWE announced Evolution to go head-to-head with All In. AEW decides, let's move All In to before Evolution. We don't want to run head-to-head. WWE then, again, double books the freaking weekend with another show the same day. Drowning out the market, but that's another story for another day. So was this a setup? I think it was. I think it was. I think WWE and I think the brass at TKO want to say the fans want to believe that women's wrestling is great. Well, we'll give them a show. We'll bring back Trish Stratus. We'll bring back Nikki Bella. But we won't do a whole lot. We'll just prove why women's wrestling doesn't sell, or so they think, and they'll give you, you know, half book storylines and a hastily produced show for Evolution. So what do y'all think? Let me know in the comments below. Is this show a setup to preach a narrative that women's wrestling is not the global phenomenon that the fans online want it to be? Let me know in the comments below. We got some other wrestling storylines to run through real quick. Let's talk about them. Per Fightful Select and Sean Ross Sapp, if you don't have Fightful Select, it's the best $5.99 in the business, by the way. Per Fightful Select, Fred Rosser, which was Darren Young in WWE, was backstage at AEW Dynamite. He's a New Japan talent, so I could see one of two things. They're planning for him to be at Forbidden Door in August, or maybe his contract's up. I'm not quite sure. And he's just introducing himself to maybe join AEW. Additionally, per Fightful Select, Sean Ross Sapp, AJ Styles is rumored to have signed a one-year contract extension with the WWE. So for all of the AEW fans who are hoping to see AJ Styles anytime soon in AEW, you should, you know, that was a pipe dream to begin with. Sean Ross Sapp has also announced that Darby Allin should be returning to action soon, but also stated that Sting and Darby Allin may be at AEW All In, though not sure what capacity they would be in. I know Sting will be at StarCast. He lives in that area, so it's not a 100% a shock that he would be there. But the rumor is if Sting shows up on TV, it will be in some sort of planning with Darby Allin's return, which leads me to believe one thing. And we'll talk about this more on the live stream, I think, next week when we talk about All In's prediction. But my confidence at Hangman that Hangman wins the belt, it's like 50-50 now. Like, I was almost certain a few weeks ago that Hangman beats Moxley, like, almost guaranteed. But the idea that Darby may be coming back and Sting may be there and there may be some big production, like, I could see Moxley winning now. Like, it's not almost a certainty that Hangman wins. Like, it's 50-50 right now for me. And maybe they really do want Darby Allin to be the guy to hold the belt. Who knows? There was a rumor earlier on this week that Britt Baker was actively trying to get out of her AEW contract. Well, Sean Ross Sapp has, I guess, insider news and says those that he's spoken to in AEW, one said that they're not interested in releasing her from her contract, but also no one's heard of her even trying to get out of her AEW contract. She has at least an additional year, maybe more on her contract, considering injury time that may be added to her contract. So Britt Baker's not leaving AEW anytime soon. So for all you WWE fans that pushed that rumor that, oh, another one of the big ones in AEW are leaving, well, Britt Baker, assumingly, is not planning on leaving the company anytime soon. More contract news. It has been reported that both Scarlett and Karrion Kross's contracts expire sometime in August. There hasn't been any reporting of a extension, but the feeling in WWE from the report that I read is they expect Karrion Kross and Scarlett to re-sign. To me, this is what they're doing right now. Exactly what AEW did with Daniel Garcia. Keeping him around, keeping him in the big stories, but not really giving him the title that he deserves. Just until contract extensions are over. Like, hey, Daniel, we'll put you in these big matches. This is what AEW did, right? Daniel, we'll put you in these title matches. We'll let you flirt with title success. With the idea that if you stay with us, we'll give you a title eventually. And that's what happened. Daniel Garcia resigns. He comes back. He wins the TNT belt, has a pretty, you know, nonchalant TNT title run. And that was about it. I think WWE is doing the same thing with Karrion Kross. Like, Karrion Kross, we'll put you in these title matches. We'll put you in these big storylines. For our way of saying, look at what we're doing. You don't even have a contract past X date, and we're still using you. Imagine if you signed that extension, where you could go. And I would expect them maybe to resign, though I would love to see Killer Kross show up in August at Forbidden Door. Wouldn't that be something? I don't know if it'll happen, but we'll have to keep an eye on Karrion Kross and if he signs that contract extension. One more piece of contract news, and then we'll pull to our most anticipated segment. Isla Dawn is expected to work with AEW in the near future. She was backstage as well, I believe, at Dynamite. And the idea is she's going to be All Elite. And so Isla Dawn, I thought she was under-executed in AEW. I know she was a tag team champion with Alba Fire, but I think Isla Dawn could be a really good wrestler. And I would expect her to make her debut probably in August at the Scotland show. I think she's Scottish. Or she's from that area. I'm not 100% sure where she's from. Yeah, she's Scottish. So I think we have a Scottish show or a Wales show or something. They're going to Glasgow for a Dynamite Collision taping the week of Forbidden Door. I expect her maybe to make her debut around that point in time. And so Isla Dawn is joining the AEW women's roster, which is already stacked. I'll tell you how stacked the AEW women's roster is real quick. On TikTok, I put together my top 10 AEW women's wrestlers, and there's 13 wrestlers on there. I had to put three honorable mentions, and I love all of these wrestlers. AEW's women's wrestling roster is so stacked, and there are some that are not even on there that I really enjoy. So another one added to AEW's already stacked roster, but let me give the people what they came here for, and that's women, and that's the baddies of the week. Again, I'll go through the instructions for anybody that may be new to this channel. Again, if you're new to the channel, please hit that subscribe button and help us get to 100 subscribers, and let's help push and make this a movement. Join the Discord if you want to join this segment, because the submissions that get sent to the baddies channel on the Real Wrestling Discord server, I put on here photos I would push for them to be posted during the week of the contest. Try not to give me like 4-year-old photos of somebody. Anyways, it was like ranking them 1 through whatever, but now I just do smash or pass on all of them, because I've realized that, you know, even if you're number 20, you're still a pretty, you know, you're still better than than anything, you know. Anyways, let's do smash or pass. We'll go with the first one, Lacey Evans, or the woman Marcy Estrella, I think is her name. She no longer goes by Lacey Evans. She's no longer in wrestling, but I'll keep it because she used to wrestle. That's a pass. I never thought she was super attractive to begin with, even when she was in the WWE. Like, she was just, again, another one of those blonde girls that WWE had a thing for during the, like, well, really their entire history. But she was kind of like mid of the blonde girls. Like, she could never pass like Alexa Bliss and Liv Morgan and even Charlotte Flair. Like, she is just right. We'll move on to Indy Hartwell. Double smash for the Indy Hartwell. Remember, she, when we first started this show, she was the first baddies champion. Indy Hartwell is just absolutely phenomenal. She is great, and she has several belts. She's going to challenge Mercedes Moné for the most women's champions. We have another photo that might be in competition here in a minute. We'll go to Ariana Grace. I'll pass. I'm not a big fan of her. That's just preference. Again, these are my preferences. These are my opinions, not necessarily yours. You can go through this list and comment, smash, or pass on all of these wrestlers in the comments below and play along with me. And you could tell me your opinions. But for me, Ariana Grace is a pass. Here it is. Arika Demia. She's an indie wrestler, and she rocks like 5 different championships. She better be watching out for Mercedes Moné, because Mercedes Moné is on target to win every women's champion and every company ever. 6 belts. Moné would love to just continue to win belts. This is a smash. She's an attractive woman. Not like the most attractive, but it's still a smash. I like it. And plus, she has all those belts, so why not? Carmen Petrovic. She's I'm not a big fan of the Canadian attire. I'm Team USA all the way, baby. Independence Day was yesterday. It'll be a smash. She's attractive. Has she been on TV in a while? I don't know. I don't pay attention to NXT, but I haven't seen her in any of the news lately. I just see a bunch of her Instagram photos. Mia Yim, a.k.a. Mishin. Double smash. She is forever my baddie. I love Mia Yim. I remember watching her in TNA as part of the Dollhouse with her. And I'm going to forget the other people. Marty Bell. And there was a couple other ones that are in that group as well. Just absolutely fantastic. Double smash for Mia Yim. I don't call her Mishin. I call her Mia Yim. Bailey, they posted this photo, and because of the super zoomed in on the tits, and I get it, but Bailey is a smash, but she ain't like all that in a bag of chips. Like, she's an attractive woman, but she ain't, you know, she ain't double smash. She's a smash, but she ain't a double smash. Let's keep going. Amanda Kiss. I'm gonna be honest, I don't really know a whole lot about her. I'm assuming she wrestles in the independent scene, but she's an attractive woman. I'll give her a smash. Maybe I'll have to check out her work. The point of this segment, honestly, is for, I like to have these independent women on this segment so that the people that are watching know that there are other women out there other than the WWE and AEW women. And so I like having these independent women, and I'll check out some of these matches. And it's just a way to say, these are really gorgeous women that wrestle. And it, you know, oh, I think she's attractive, or oh, I think she, you know, looks good. Let's see how she wrestles, and then I can become a fan of her wrestling. So that's really the point of this. So I like having some of these indie wrestlers on here as well. I think there's the next one. Yep. Kenzie Page. I've watched her for a while. She is really attractive. And I think, is she still NWA Women's Tag Team Champions or NWA Women's Champion? I can't remember if she still is. But Kenzie Page, she rocks NWA. And so, and the indie scene, especially in the South, Southeast part, Tennessee, Virginia, North Carolina area. Kenzie Page is awesome. I love her. And she's doing well in her career. I wish AEW, honestly, I first learned of Kenzie Page on AEW Dark, which AEW should bring back Dark, because that would be a way to bring a lot of these new wrestlers into wrestling and that people can learn about them. I love AEW Dark. I wish they would bring it back, but I learned about Kenzie Page and then COVID hit. I remember I talked about COVID and they didn't sign her. And so she just kind of had to run the indie scene. I remember during COVID watching an indie show with her in Tennessee. And I traveled up to Tennessee to watch her wrestle. And so Kenzie Page is awesome. Brooke Havoc. She is absolutely a stunner, and she gets a double-double smash for me. She's another independent wrestler, and she has some really good wrestling. I think Brooke Havoc, if I am correct, she was trained by Cody Rhodes at the Nightmare Academy, and she has an upcoming match in August in California against Masha Slamovic. So if you're in that area, you should tune in to watch her. She's a really fun wrestler to watch. And she's been on ROH a few times, I believe, as well. So Brooke Havoc, everybody. Double, double smash. Let's go to Io Sky. Look, I'll be telling people in the Discord all the time that she's my Joshi queen. And this is why. She is absolutely gorgeous. Double, double smash. I love the Joshi wrestlers. And it's my joke that all of them are like Joshi queens or Joshi princesses or whatever. But I love Io Sky. Me and Wavy D up there in the Discord. We know what we're talking about when we hype up Io Sky, and she be hyping herself up in this photo. And she deserves to keep that WWE Women's Championship. So all the haters can go and respectfully go fuck themselves. Io Sky, double, double smash. Jade Cargill, this one got posted and it said, if you pass on Jade Cargill again, you might be gay or something like that, which, nah, I just, again, preference, I'm a pass on Jade Cargill. And so there is Jade Cargill, and she's in, like, let me say, Jade Cargill is an attractive woman. I prefer not to have a woman that could beat me to shreds. You know what I'm saying? Like, I physically feel like she could outmaneuver me and beat me to a pulp, and that's intimidating. And so for that reason, pass. Like, she's an attractive woman, and I can see why people think she's an attractive woman. But for me, preferably, she's just not my type. So I apologize, and I'm sure I'll get scrutiny in the Discord for this, but I'm passing on Jade Cargill. Anyways, next one. Elena Black, a.k.a. Cora Jade, double, double smash. Let's go. I think Cora Jade is pretty attractive. Obviously, she's working the indie scene now, and I think she worked a GCW show last week at Arkansas. I failed to watch it, but I got to go back and watch it, watch her match there. So, yeah, Elena Black gets that double-double smash. Isla Dawn, I talked about earlier, coming to AEW. She gets just a smash. She's attractive, but I don't know, the accent kind of throws me off. But this picture is cute. This picture is attractive. It's like I said, she's a heartbreaker, so that's kind of anyway, she'll get a smash. Izzy Dame, I'm gonna have to pass on her. Like, ain't, again, when you there's so many blonde women in pro wrestling, Like, she might be like 25th best. There's so many of them. So I've seen, this is a carbon copy of any other, like, it's Tiffany Stratton, but like not Tiffany Stratton. You know what I mean? Like, or it's Mariah May. I'm not calling her by her new name. It's Mariah May, but like Temu.com Mariah May. And like Mariah May's a smash. And Izzy Dame, it's like, maybe, but no, I'll pass on her. Kalani Jordan, though, gets a double smash. I love it. I was tempted last week to give her the triple double. This week, I gave her the double double again. She's awesome. Carmelo Hayes is a lucky SOB. Double double smash for Kalani Jordan. We move on to Zaya Brookside celebrating the 4th of July, even though I think she's British. Anyways, she gets a smash. She's all right. She's, you know, she's all right. I'll give her a smash. But there's one more. And last week I didn't use a triple double. And I couldn't go 2 weeks without using the triple double smash. Or pass. Give me Megan Bain with the triple double smash. Come on now. Happy 4th of July, America. Megan freaking Bain, the Megasis. I wonder what she's doing in Texas next weekend. Will she have a match? I don't think she's announced for one yet. I think it might get announced tonight on AEW's 100th episode of Collision. Remember the show that was created specifically for CM Punk before he decided to fuck AEW in the ass and leave the company? It's now episode 100 this tonight. I think she's in a 8-woman tag team match. I think we might be able to get a couple more matches for AEW All In announced with that one. So we'll see what happens to Megan Bain and what match she's in. But for this week, the triple double smash goes to Megan Bain. Let me guys know in the comments section what you think. Go through that list. You can tell me smash or pass or if I'm crazy for my rankings. Let me know. That's all I got for you today, though. AEW is here to stay for a good long time. I got 4 things I need for you to do as we leave the show today, and that's hit that like button, comment below, share this with your wrestling friends, and subscribe. Hit that notification bell. We'll see you for the AEW All In Prediction Show live next Thursday, 9 p.m. Me and Cody Marinaro will be back on the live stream. There might not be a Saturday show next week because I got to prepare for All In. We'll see. I'll let you know. Follow us on all the social medias. All of the links are in the description. But until next Thursday, y'all be good. Y'all enjoy some wrestling. Stay saucy. I'm Junkyard James. We'll be back next week. This is Beyond the Junkyard Podcast. Beyond the Junkyard.